Let's pray as we get into God's word. Father, we thank you that you're a God who speaks, that you're a God who acts and works in our lives and our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us by your Spirit this day. You'd soften us and that you'd change us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over the last few weeks, we've been delving into a number of different Psalms from the Old Testament. We've heard so far that the Book of Psalms, I think I've got the... I think I was cutting in and out like last week, but we've been looking at Psalms over the last few weeks, and we've heard so far that the Book of Psalms is this collection of 150 ancient songs that have held a special place in Christian and Jewish worship throughout the ages. We heard last week that the word psalm means instrumental music, or words that accompany instrumental music. And so this collection of 150 psalms in the Old Testament, it's effectively the hymn book of ancient Israel. It's the songs that God's people have sung throughout generations. And like all other songs, the psalms explore a vast range of experiences and topics in our lives. They cover the hopes and the dreams and the triumphs of God's people, as well as moments of deep despair and tragedy. And as we read through these psalms and see how God's people have expressed themselves throughout the ages, we're reminded that the Christian life is not just about what happens in the brain. It's not merely an intellectual experience. Now, the Christian life is more than just what we think about. If all of our lives are all about Jesus, then that includes our deepest thoughts, our deepest emotions, our deepest feelings, as we pour out ourselves in heartfelt response to God. Well, this morning's psalm is Psalm 4, a psalm that is written by King David. If you've got it there on your phones or your Bibles, please do open it up, Psalm 4. And it confronts us with a scenario that I think we've all experienced at some point in our lives, maybe some more than others, that is lying in bed late at night, not being able to sleep, because of the worries and the pressures and the stresses of the day. The problems that we face in our lives always seem much bigger and more complex late at night, don't they? They're always much more stressful and blown out of proportion when we're lying in bed trying to get to sleep. As we come to the end of a day, as we get a chance to slow down, to think about what's going on in our lives, things feel so much more serious. As the world around us slows down, as night falls, as things go quiet, we start to think about and replay the conversations that we had during the day. We dwell on what we should or shouldn't have said. We ponder solutions to our problems. We allow the hurt or the pain of injustice or unjust situations in our lives to boil away. We brood over things. And very quickly, very easily, we can find ourselves so consumed by the thoughts of the night that we become unsettled and unable to sleep. Well, this psalm is an invitation for us to explore the inner thoughts and the prayers of King David as he wrestles with the stresses on his life. And as we follow through it, we see how he gets to a point where he says at the end in verse 8, "In peace, I will lie down and sleep." In peace, I will lie down and sleep. You know, this is an extraordinary thing for King David to be able to say at this point in his life. King David's a man who faced extreme difficulties. He's facing much more complex situations than many of us would ever face in our lives. He's a king ruling over a vast empire. He's got these crazy family issues going on. He's also under great threat. Most scholars think that as David's writing this psalm, Psalm 4, he's on the run to protect his own life. He's run away from Jerusalem. He's in hiding. You may be familiar with the story about how his son Absalom spends years building his own popularity and plotting to steal the kingdom from his father. And so by this point, Absalom had raised up an army and a bunch of supporters to revolt against his father. Absalom declares that he is king. And then this forces David to flee from Jerusalem. So as he's writing this psalm, King David has been humiliated. He's been lied about by his own family. He's been chased out of his role by his own son. By the way, this son, Absalom, murdered his brother. So that adds to the complications if you think you've got family issues. David's a guy who's got a lot going on in his life. But as David writes his psalm, he ends with these extraordinary words, verse 8, "In peace, I will lie down and sleep." Despite the craziness and the storms of the world around him, he sleeps peacefully at night. What is it that gets David to this point? How can he say this? How can he do it? As we enter into David's inner thoughts and prayers, we're going to look at how we too can be people of peace and contentment throughout the storms of life as they rage on. How can we go to bed each night and sleep in peace? As we track through the psalm, we're going to briefly see four things, four steps that David takes. Firstly, he cries out to God in prayer. Secondly, he considers things from God's perspective. He searches his own heart and he finds his joy. And it's through going through this process, through these four things, reflecting on these things in his heart, that David's able to say by verse 8 in this very short psalm, "In peace, I will lie down and sleep." So let's look firstly how he cries out to God in prayer. Verse 1, he says, "Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." Instead of lying in his bed, cycling through the stresses and the worries and the pressures that he finds himself under, instead of dwelling on what's unfair and unjust about his son overthrowing him, instead of allowing his mind to worry and stress and see, David breaks this cycle that we all go through and he cries out to God in prayer. He cries out to God, "Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God," he says. As he faces this dark and difficult, unjust and unfair situation, as his son pursues him and betrays him, instead of seething in bitterness and anger in the unfairness of what's going on or plotting or planning his next step, David cries out to God. "My righteous God," he says. Do you get the deeply personal nature of his cry, "My God"? And in this situation now more than ever, it's important for David to reaffirm that his God is righteous. Note how the attribute that he uses in his prayer is directly relevant to the situation that he finds himself in. He reminds himself and he proclaims the fact that God is righteous. He's the author of all that is right. He's the source of all that is good and true and just and perfect. He knows that whatever righteousness he might possess, actually he finds in God. And whatever righteousness or rightness or justice that he's searching after, he finds it in God. If you are currently enduring an unfair or unjust situation, remember that your God is righteous. cry out to your righteous God, because he is the one who is perfectly just, pure and true. And despite the injustice that you're currently facing, he is just, he is righteous, and a day will come when all things will be made right, even if not right now. Give me relief from my distress, he says. Give me relief from my distress. David, at this time, he's in a tight corner, can't see a way out. He doesn't know the solution. He doesn't know what to do. But he does know that in the face of injustice, his God is righteous. He does know that his righteous God has the power and the ability to relieve him from this injustice. His righteous God has the power and the ability to free him, to unburden him, to release him. And so he cries out saying, give me relief from my distress. That's his first step. He breaks the cycle by crying out to God. When we lie awake in bed stressing over injustice and dwelling on our deep problems, strategizing about how to find our way out, break the cycle. Break the cycle out and cry out to God. David cries out to God in prayer. The second thing he does is he considers the situation from God's perspective. He spent some time in this prayer reminding himself of what is true, because David knew. He had this confidence that God was for him, that God would surround him and sustain him and strengthen him and save him. He had cultivated such a deep and personal relationship with God that his confidence in the truth of God was unyielding. Verses 2 and 3, it's not exactly clear here who he's addressing. Some think maybe he's talking about his friends who are giving him bad advice, like what happened with Job. Others think maybe he's actually thinking about his son Absalom and his army. But he says in verse 2, how long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Those who have surrounded David, whether it's his enemies or his well-meaning but unhelpful friends, have turned his glory into shame. He had this glorious position as king of Israel, and he's been shamed. He's forced out of Jerusalem. He's on the run. He's basically saying that these people around him, they're deluded. Absalom's claim for power is a delusion. Just because he and his army have chased him out of town doesn't mean that he's the real king. You see, David's thinking about the situation from God's perspective, and he's reassured, and he remembers, and he thinks, hang on a moment, I'm God's faithful servant. I'm the one who's been set apart for this role as king of Israel. He will hear my prayer. Those who do evil are not in control, but God is. As we lie awake at night, when we go through trials and struggles and stresses, we need to remind ourselves of God's truth. Those who make our lives difficult, those who cause us to lie awake at night, the stressful situations we endure are not in control of us. God reigns. God is in control. The Lord of heaven and earth sees all, and because we are in Christ, because we have been adopted and redeemed by our loving Heavenly Father through Christ, we have a whole new identity, and we will not be defined by what happens in the world around us. David calls out to God in prayer. He He considers the situation from God's perspective, and thirdly, he searches his heart. Verse 4. Tremble and do not sin. When you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. Now, again, it's a little unclear about exactly who's David is talking to, but many say that David is preaching kind of to himself and to his friends around him. Tremble and do not sin, he says. This word that we have here translated as tremble can also be translated as angry, like trembling in anger. In other words, David is saying, be angry. Be angry at the injustice of the situation you find yourself in, but in your anger, don't sin. David, I think, understands what uncontrolled and unfiltered anger does to us. He understands that if we were to allow uncontrolled anger to simmer away in our hearts, it turns into bitterness and rage and violence and revenge and twisted unforgiveness. David, I think, understands the corrosive impact of anger on our hearts. When we remain angry with someone, we seek revenge. We want to get back at people. We want to take justice into our own hands. We gossip about people. We slander people. We snub people. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4 takes up this same idea, and he says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. In other words, Paul says, deal with your anger before you go to bed. And in this nighttime psalm from King David, he's basically saying the same thing. If you want to be a person who sleeps peacefully, don't allow your anger to brew in your heart. In fact, don't allow it to brew for more than a day. How does David do this? Some of us hold on to our anger for weeks, years. We become hardened and bitter and twisted. David says, when you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. He's saying, oh, when you're by yourself, when you're lying in bed, as you're seething in anger, don't think about what you're angry about. Actually, examine yourself. Search your own heart. Stop and think and be silent before the Lord. Because when you spend that time searching your own heart and being silent before God, it changes you. When you take the focus off the person or the situation you're angry about and spend some time actually looking at yourself, you begin to realize that you're not quite as perfect and holy as you make out to be. You're not as blameless as maybe you thought. And sometimes in some situations you might realize that the thing you're so angry about was actually your own fault. And that the brokenness and the sin in your own heart is just as bad as the next person, and maybe actually I need forgiveness rather than revenge. This self-examination and silent reflection before the Lord has this humbling effect on us. David says in verse 5, he says, offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. As we're lying on our beds in self-examination and silent reflection, he then speaks these words about offering a sacrifice. That's language of atonement, isn't it? Of seeking God's forgiveness. As we self-reflect and come to the grips with our own brokenness, our next step is then to cry out to God for forgiveness so we can be made right with our righteous God. And while King David speaks of sacrifice, we know that it's in Christ Jesus who sacrificed himself for us is where we find forgiveness. God's one and only Son is given as a sacrifice for the sins of the world so that we can be forgiven. So that when we're lying in our beds late at night, searching our own hearts, we can thank God that he's bought us forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Colossians says that we can have peace with God through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. That is true peace. Well, finally, David calls out to the Lord. He considers his situation from God's perspective. He searches his own heart. And finally, he finds his joy in the Lord, verse 6. Many, Lord, are asking who will bring us prosperity. Let the light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy where their grain and new wine abound. As King David lies there on his bed late at night, it appears as though Absalom and his people are prospering greatly. They've got all the food and the grain and the wine, but throughout the stresses of his life, David knows that actually the greatest joy is found in God. We can look for joy in all kinds of things, of prosperity and chase after contentment in all kinds of people and situations, but David knows that everlasting joy comes from knowing God. And so he prays, "Fill my heart with joy." What a great prayer. David pursues a joy that does not change with circumstances, a joy that lasts forever, a joy that is deep, because he knows there is a righteous God. Despite the storms of life and the hardship he endures, King David can say, "In peace, I will lie down and sleep." David's problems were very real. He doesn't deny they existed, but he is able to get to the end of his night and sleep in peace. If you struggle to sleep at night, consumed with stress and worry and concern, try pulling out Psalm 4. Pray through the same things that David prays through. Use his prayers as a model for your own. Feed on the truths of God. Call out to him. Break that cycle. Look at it from God's perspective. Examine your own heart and find your joy in the one who loves you most. And then experience the peace of God, which passes all understanding. May he guide your heart and mind in the knowledge and love of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to invite you to stand, and we're going to pray as the band comes up. So please stand. Father, we know that you are righteous and holy. You are above all and set apart. Father, I want to pray this morning particularly for those who struggle to sleep at night because of the worries and the stresses of the day. Father, I pray that you give your people peace. I pray, Father, that you would help us to break out of the cycle of worry and stress and instead cry out to you. Lord, help us to see things from your perspective. give us the self-discipline to examine our own hearts. And may we seek to find our joy in you. Father, I pray for good, restful, solid, easy sleep among your people as we trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. During this song, Andrea is going to be up around the door kind of area, and Andrea is available up there during the song if you would like some one-on-one prayer, particularly around this area of sleep. I think that, it's really important to take this opportunity. If you're struggling in this area in your life, bring it to the Lord. Come and take the opportunity for some prayer ministry. Andrea is just going to be up there, so please do take advantage of that if you'd like to.